Well, there's a new book out about the South Broadway Athletic Club in the Soulard neighborhood. It's been there since 1899, and they've had wrestling, and they've had boxing, and they've had just a bunch of really cool events over 130 years almost here. And to talk about it, the author of the book, Miriam Moynihan, and Dan Gunther, who contributed to the book as well, both with us in studio. We have the copy of the hardcover right here, the South Broadway Athletic Club. So if you are watching on YouTube, Facebook, nice, or Twitter, you can see it. This book is very cool. And guys, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're going to start with one thing, because Dan told me during the break that he never, unless he's at the beach, wears shorts. Ever.
Really?
Ever.
It's just a thing. If I'm at a pool or the beach, I'll have shorts. But otherwise, I'm just
See?
This
jeans.
Is the man
This is what I'm talking
talk
about.
Yeah, pants all the time.
Does it just feel a little uncouth, not professional enough to wear shorts?
I don't know. I'm sure if it's professional or it's just my skinny legs. It's my, I think that might actually be the problem.
Dan has shame. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the difference.
I don't know if you guys saw Chris Ranji's legs, but he is incredibly proud of him. He's convinced that people were blown away.
You should have seen the office light up when I walked in. And it wasn't because they're pale.
They're pretty pale.
So this book is super cool. I love it. And I love that neighborhood in particular, just because of the old history that's there. And this South Broadway Athletic Club is part of that history.
Absolutely. The club has been in the neighborhood since 1899. The first address was at 611 Guyer. And they outgrew that after about 15 years and moved to our current location, which is 2301 South 7th at Shenandoah.
Wait, they outgrew it in 1899?
No, like 1914.
1914, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But still, about 15 pretty quickly.
Years. Yeah,
pretty quickly.
It was. I mean, they started, I think, just on one floor of 611 Guyer, and then eventually took another floor, the basement, and then they needed a bigger space, and they... they found the space that we're in now, which was several other things before. I think our building was built in like 1897, and it was originally Stupp Brothers Steel, and so they made a very substantial building with a huge event space in the middle, and the South Broadway Athletic Club took it over.
What is the significance or impact of boxing in St. Louis specifically, and how did it help shape our city?
Yeah, I mean, I think the boxing, if you go back to the early 1900s, late 1890s, organizations in South City especially were a lot of like athletic clubs. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of the immigrants had clubs that they would form. South Broadway Athletic Club, actually, when we were doing the research, it's interesting to note that we originally were formed as a debate club, because back then that debate was really kind of one of
and
the things that
work,
you want to
we'll punch each other.
Well, and it quickly turned to boxing. So that kind of shows you how a bunch of, I guess at the time it was a bunch of young Germans that were building
that
up Soulard. And they went straight from debating to boxing.
My last name is Mark Scores.
Mark
so
Scores.
So coming from a long line of stout, angry Germans, I get it.
For the athletic clubs, boxing was really something that during that time, a lot of the young immigrants would put their energy behind boxing and wrestling. And so for South Broadway, there were a lot of organizations, other athletic clubs throughout the city of St. Louis, namely the Missouri Athletic Club, which we have a little section in our book about how there were stories from the early 1900s of the South Broadway, the boys in blue, because we have blue shorts, taking on the Missouri Athletic Club, and some of the articles from the Globe Democrat from the early 1900s talking about that.
So. Wow. Well,
this athletic club was instrumental in helping start Guns and Hoses, which is a every year it is a huge event in St. Louis, raising money for first responders. And there was a group from the South Broadway Athletic Club that started it, right?
Correct. There were a few of the coaches namely a guy named Joe Weber, who was one of the coaches at South Broadway, and a handful of other guys that
Jerry were, Clinton.
Jerry Clinton, yeah. Jerry Clinton was instrumental in starting Guns N' Hoses. So, yeah, so that, you know, every year Guns N' Hoses is raising millions of dollars for Backstoppers, the First Responders mm-hmm. Fund. That is something that initially kind of started out of South Broadway Athletic Club because of our boxing program that we had.
So you had South Broadway boxing. You also mentioned wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk a lot about wrestling at the Chase. Mm-hmm. Were those related at all, or did the South Broadway boxing and wrestling just help grow the sport so that you also had it at the Chase? I wasn't sure if there was any correlation between those two.
Well, wrestling at South Broadway Athletic Club, it was a feeder, part of a feeder system.
Okay.
And so they helped develop talent that would go on to larger mm-hmm. stages. But it's strictly amateur.
Amateur, yeah.
And now we have MMWA, the Mid-Missouri Wrestling right. Association. They've been doing wrestling at our club every second Saturday for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so it did kind of dovetail with wrestling at the Chase. But, you know, wrestling at the Chase eventually stopped, and we continued.
Yeah. One of my favorite events every year is Mardi Gras, because it is such a big deal. And really, it's, I think we all know that it is one of the biggest in the country, aside from New Orleans. And what is the athletic club's role in that, in the history of it? Because I know it's been a part of it since the 80s when the Mardi Gras here started.
Correct. Yeah, so Mardi Gras, you know, for Soulard, it is just a whole, you know, season of celebrations. You know, it's not just the single Grand Parade Day, but it's the Taste of Soulard and the scavenger hunt and a number of different events. So South Broadway has always been a part of, you know, helping the Mardi Gras Inc. that runs it to not only facilitate, you know, we're one of the stops on the Taste of Soulard. We have Ray Touffet, our famous homemade etouffee recipe from one of our former members, Ray Wiley. The Grand Parade Day really is, it's one day that kind of makes it for a lot of the bars and restaurants in Soulard. You know, obviously coming out of winter when it's a slower season for especially the bars with patios and stuff, it really is a day that just kind of brings it in. So we bring hundreds of people to South Broadway Athletic Club because we are right on the parade path, and we'll set up we'll have usually about six bars outside that we'll set up. We'll have a band inside. We'll have an all-day pass where people can get a wristband. They can come in and out, use our restrooms, you know, buy drinks for a more affordable price indoors. But we really have been, since the beginning of Mardi Gras, have been a part not only with helping with all of the events that they throw throughout the season, but also with one of our president was one of the board members for Mardi Gras Inc., so or the Mardi Gras Foundation. So we've been a part of that for a long time.
So you've had this rich history at the South Broadway Athletic Club. What do you see as its future? What's to come for that building?
Well, we've been having Queen of Hearts every Thursday for a couple of years now. And so the club is open to the public every Thursday night. And we welcome the neighborhood and the community. And it's a fundraiser, but it's also a raffle. And just 2 weeks ago, a neighborhood lady won something like $60,000 in the raffle.
Great.
So,
yeah, I'll also say for the future, you know, if you hopefully all your listeners will go out and purchase the book. Mm-hmm. The books are available all throughout the city. But the last chapter of the book is called The Comeback. And I think that's an important part of the story of South Broadway. You know, we were around for over 100 years, but the organization got to a point to where, you know, it lacked leadership, it lacked funds, it lacked members. It was to a point to where the organization itself was really at a point to where it could have gone under. This is, you know, probably the 2014, 2015 era. And then that's when a handful of people, Soulard residents, our current president, Kevin Wilkins, a handful of his friends came in because there were stories in the paper about the South Broadway Athletic Club is on its last leg. And so I think a handful of us, 10 years ago now, saw an opportunity to come back and kind of put a little bit of fresh energy into the club. And so really this book is, for us, it is a celebration of 125 years, but it's also looking forward to the next 125 years.
Yeah.
We've got to the club now to a point where we put a whole lot of money into the building itself, into renovations. We have a good bank account finally. We've built up our membership. So we have a whole lot of young St. Louis residents that have kids that are growing up in the club again. So so the book is a celebration of the past 125, but also for the future, though, we're going to make sure we're there another 125 years. So
it's a really cool book. I love the pictures in it, too, because I love seeing the, you know, how things used to look. I am a nerd for that sort of stuff. So this book is called The South Broadway Athletic Club, St. Louis's home for boxing, wrestling, and cheap beer since 1899. Miriam Moynihan and Dan Gunther, we appreciate you guys coming in, and this is very cool. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having us in today.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. So we briefly talked about this story at the top of the show, and it is something that the newsroom has been reporting on today. And it started when Maria Kina, our anchor reporter here at KMOX, was looking on Nextdoor, which is the social media app. And that's where people complain about their neighborhoods, which is sometimes it is very funny just looking at Nextdoor complaints, as I've been doing that for a long time. And Maria had found that there were people complaining about Walgreens pharmacies closing, this just being either completely understaffed or closed altogether way earlier than they were supposed to. And the amount of people who rely on medicine who are unable to get that medicine, and in some cases is life threatening. And it is a very big deal. So Maria Kina went on Nextdoor and asked people to reach out to her if they have had issues. And this is part of her report.
Response was overwhelming when we asked on the social media platform Nextdoor if other people were having problems. Over 300 people responded and continue to do so. KMOX reached out to Walgreens corporate media spokesperson looking for answers. We were advised he'd get back to us by Wednesday. He did not. The following is just a minuscule number of all the people who have on more than one occasion had problems getting their medication from Walgreens pharmacies in the city and the county. This lady is a heart transplant patient, and her medication can mean the difference between life and death.
I get a notice on the email stating that they are in the process of refilling my automatic refill. And that was on a week ago Sunday. And then I went in there on Wednesday because I hadn't heard from them, and they said, oh, it'll be here later today. Well, they closed. I went back at 3, and they were closed.
And this woman is a diabetic and also requires psychiatric medication that ended up being hospitalized because she did not get her medication.
When you get there, there's at least 5 to 7 cars already in line just sitting there waiting, and then the phones, you can't get through to anybody, and this is even happening with my diabetic medication, my insulin, my Dexcom, stuff like that. I mean, it's horrible, honestly.
Another recurring problem, you drop off a written prescription at the Hampton and Chippewa pharmacy, for instance. You're told to pick it up a few hours later. You return, and the pharmacy is closed, well before closing time. People then go to another Walgreens pharmacy that is open, and you try to get your medication filled through there, but you're told you cannot because it's a controlled substance. They need a written prescription, which, of course, is at the pharmacy that unexpectedly closed. Maria Kina, KMOX News.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. PBMs, or pharmacy benefit managers, are the big culprits here, according to one local independent pharmacist. PBMs are third-party administrators of prescription drug programs. Jerry Callahan owns and operates two independent medicine shop pharmacies, one in Pacific, the other in Ellsbury, Missouri.
They're reimbursing people, a lot of pharmacies, especially on branded drugs, below our cost to buy it. Whether you're a chain or independent, you're losing money a lot of times when you're filling a branded drug.
And that leads, he says, to cuts in both workers and store hours. The system is broken, he says, and it's got to be fixed, especially in Missouri. Fred Bottomer, KMOX News.
Yeah, really, really interesting. Again, if you are listening to the story, maybe you just caught part of it, you want to know the details, it is a KMOX exclusive, KMOX.com. KMOX.com. It is our top story. What's wrong with Walgreens? KMOX hears complaints from hundreds. And what's insane is this has not been, This is not a story that Maria's like, well, over the course of a year. I mean, it was immediate. She got 300 specific complaints from people.
It's almost like reviews on a product. You know, you're looking on Amazon or somewhere else and you read through some of them and one of them is like, I had the worst experience with this. And it's always like one person, right? And everybody else has great experiences. So when I first heard it, I thought, oh, well, maybe a couple of people reached out and said, yeah, I showed up and they were closed. But in reality, maybe that person was just late and didn't realize they were late. But no, 300 plus. That is a lot of complaints. And when that is a... That is such a perfect illustration of where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. Because if you have that many people who are willing to say, yes, I've had this problem, that means it's a very, very big problem. And people rely on that stuff.
So in the story, there were multiple Walgreens. It wasn't just one location. They mentioned the Walgreens on Lindell, but they also heard from complaints about the Walgreens in Rock Hill, on Manchester, Hampton, Chippewa, Crestwood. Yeah. So a lot of Walgreens. Now, I have to say, Raj, and I don't have a lot of prescriptions. I've gone to Walgreens and picked up prescriptions. I was saying a couple of years ago, I got really, really sick and had to get prescription medicine or antibiotics or whatever. And I've never had an issue, and I've used multiple Walgreens. So I've used the Walgreens in way out in Wildwood. I've used the Walgreens at like in Chesterfield, I've used Walgreens in Clayton, and so multiple locations. I've never had a trouble. The only thing I do know is at least the Walgreens I will go to, like, they're closed from noon to one, like the lunch hour. Maybe it's one to two. At one point, there's a lunch hour where they're closed. But other than that, I will have my prescription filled in hours. Like I said, I think I went, maybe the last time I went last month, stopped by Walgreens. So I'm not going a lot.
Yeah, same here. And the story, one of the Walgreens locations mentioned was the Lindell location, which is in my neighborhood currently. I've never had any problems there. Again, I don't rely on it like a regular prescription where I need to refill every couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is. It's just if I needed an antibiotic or something. And I've never had a problem. But this is a problem if you are a diabetic or if you have some sort of serious illness. And like referenced in the story, one of the women who talked to Maria, who has, psychological issues that she needs medications for. Well, if that's the kind of thing that you need to stay on top of your medications and you can't get them. And as anybody knows who has a regular pharmacy or prescription that you need, you go to the same pharmacy every day or every couple of weeks. You don't, well, I'm going to go to Walgreens today and I'm going to go to CVS the next day, or this time I'm going to go to Walmart. You don't do that. You have one place. And if you show up to that place and it's not open, that could be a very, very big deal for certain people.
And I know a lot of Walgreens have closed because they almost felt like mattress shops, how they overexpanded. There was a Walgreens everywhere. I'm spoiled. I'm like, oh, look, there's a Walgreens. But a lot of people will use the pharmacy within a Target, for instance, or the pharmacy within a grocery store. I've always, and it's just habit, because I think we're supposed to use CVS. I don't know. We were talking about that with our insurance.
Our insurance
is like CVS, but I still go to Walgreens out of habit. Again, I don't go regularly. You know, I don't have anything that I have to pick up regularly, but it's mainly out of habit and I haven't had a bad experience. But again, that could just be a numbers game. If you're going regularly, you're going to really know the character of that specific location and whether or not they're available.
But it's got to be reliable. It has to be reliable, especially for people who need it the most, you know? And this is a very big deal. KMOX.com. You can read the story. Maria has been on top of it. Fred has been on top of it. And we want you to read that story. Again, KMOX.com. Chris and Amy, when we come back, we were talking about Jerry Kelly, 100 Acts of Kindness, and looking out for people in the community who are doing good by the community. Well, there's another benefit for tornado victims. A man in town here is pledging to fix 100 roofs. And that is, it's awesome. And he's already fixed a bunch of them. Mitzi McDonald is a singer and is performing in a tornado relief concert that is happening in Kirkwood. We're going to talk to her about that performance coming up next on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. And since the tornado happened on May 16th, we've been actually, we've been doing it anyway, the 100 Acts of Kindness in partnership with our friends at Jerry Kelly. And we've been highlighting people in the community who have been doing some really great things. And there is a benefit concert that is happening tonight at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center at 7:30. And it is called Heartlight, a benefit concert for 100 Roofs. And this is a grassroots effort. There is a local man named Jake Wheeler who has taken it upon himself to help people rebuild. So to talk about the benefit concert with us, Mitzi McDonald is a singer. She is involved in the concert tonight, and she is with us in studio. Mitzi, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. Excited to be here and talk about this.
So Jake Wheeler is... he's taken it upon himself to help fix or repair 100 roofs in North City, the area that was impacted the most by the tornado. You are a singer and songwriter. How did you two meet, and how did this benefit concert come about?
Well, the concert idea happened first, and I think it was just 2 days after the tornado hit, I woke up and knew I had to do something. And I am used to doing concerts and so on because every year I do Christmas in the Kitchen for the last 20 years at the Sheldon Concert Hall. And we do that for Annie Malone's. It's called Christmas in the Kitchen. And so I have a real connection set up there. I knew Annie Malone's was kind of in the path of the tornado also. So I was paying attention what was happening there. And they immediately jumped into action and started helping in all kinds of ways. And they were the beneficiary of the donations from Tuesday night's sold-out show. And I do have to say, it was Joe Mancuso at Kirkwood Performing Arts who just took my calls, I begged, and what can Kirkwood do? And the city of Kirkwood came through not once, but twice, because so many musicians and vocalists wanted to help. And I was able to make two concerts, and all the money from the tickets, apart from the taxes, all of the money from the ticket sales is going to Tuesday night. It went to Annie Malone's, and tonight it goes to 100 Roofs. And we also collected over $2,000 in a giant boot Tuesday night. So we hope to do the same tonight. And just super excited.
100roofs.com is that's what Jake, the guy we were just talking about, mm-hmm. that's what he set up because he wants to rebuild 100 roofs. He's already done 50 of them.
So, 74
he's 74
at
now?
Chris,
wow.
He told
oh, wow.
me.
Okay.
I met up with him yesterday in an alley.
Oh, so, what? Okay.
That's crazy because that's how Chris and I met.
That's right. Yeah. We did. Hey, look at you. Oh, look at you. Now we're friends.
If you're gonna track that guy down, you have to go to strange places.
Yeah.
But yeah. He is always at it, and he would be here today, except I'm sure because of the weather and being cooler in the mornings. He's, you know.
It has to be one of the worst jobs in the world to do roofing when it is 105 degrees.
Well, and that's such a good point, Ranj, because after the tornado, so much devastation, you know, the second floor of homes, you know, ripped off roofs. Then it rained for what feels like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now it's 100 degrees. It might have been the worst possible conditions since the tornado. With the roofs, I saw some of the pictures from Jake Wheeler and his effort, literally just a grassroots effort, him doing it. And is he tarping? That's what he's doing? He's tarping
the
roofs? Okay,
he was. He said the city of St. Louis now is doing a much better job getting people's roofs properly tarped. So he is actually looking forward past the 100 roofs or past the immediate need to make sure people are secured long term. He's improving homes, improving the buildings. He's such a caring person. I think he is totally a St. Louis hero.
Wow.
I really do.
So going beyond the tarping now to actually repairing the roof itself,
yes.
Like a real roof.
And he said, if you can swing a hammer, which I can't, but others can. I'm going to miss the nail.
Yeah,
so
you bend the nail.
But if you have that skill, yeah, and you can swing a hammer, he needs volunteers, and you will have fun because he's an awesome guy. He's got a whole team of volunteers. I'm not positive how that works, but perhaps they just show up on certain days.
Yeah.
So would they go to the website, 100roofs.com,
yes,
if they're interested in volunteering with him?
Yeah, and anyone that donates today to his GoFundMe, you mm-hmm. will be counted into our Heartlight total, which that would help immensely. And the show is online, sold out at the moment, but they are going to release tickets. And okay, if you come to Kirkwood Performing Arts before the doors open at 7 o'clock, you should have no problem. We will get you in because there's an event space there too. I think, yeah, they're going to open the back wall. We don't want to turn away people.
Right. Yeah, right. So the Kirkwood Performing Arts,
it's going to be a great show.
Yes, the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center tickets technically sold out online, but if you show up there at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center before 7, before,
yes,
the door is open, mm-hmm, you're going to make it work.
Yes.
You're going to make it work for you.
Yes, yeah, yes. And we have a great lineup, if I can say.
Of course.
Yeah, we have Steve Scorfina from REO Speedwagon.
I love REO Speedwagon.
She talks about REO all the time.
I grew up on my dad's vinyls,
really,
of REO Speedwagon.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great band, right? So, and he also played with Pavlov's Dog, uh-huh, for those that have followed his career. And so he doesn't play a lot. We're super excited.
Yeah.
The Broken Hipsters are going to play, and they're going to back him. Dave Toretta is actually his producer of his new album. And we also have three key members of Gypsy Social. Mm-hmm. Emerson and Aaron and Don Weber are going to be there. And Tim Mead and Matt Rowland. It's going to be a great show. Actually, Dawn is bringing her whole band, Boogaloo.
Oh,
so
fun.
We're going to rock the place, yeah, tonight.
That's really
and
awesome.
And the Kingdom Brothers.
And the Kingdom
Blues. Blues, yeah.
So the concert is going to be a hoot, as they say. It's going to be so much fun. You also mentioned that if people donate today to 100 Roofs, that it will be counted, in the Heartlight total. So 100roofs.com, I was just on that website. Just kind of scroll down a bit. You'll see their GoFundMe.
Yep.
So that's the easiest way. 100, like 100roofs.com. The GoFundMe is on the page if you just kind of scroll a bit.
Yeah. And we have Jake, his amazing wife, Sarah, and some of the volunteers, so there's 10 of them coming total, and we want to have them as our guests tonight so they have a fun time, and we give that to them as a thank you for all they're doing here in St. Louis.
I mean, they're doing a lot, roofing during the day, all week, helping people, being at the benefit concert later, putting this, you know, the whole thing together. That's a lot, and you and the work you're doing, too.
I've definitely had help. It takes a village. It really does.
But it's so commendable that you were able to make the concert happen. You were persistent with the phone calls because it's one thing to think like, man, I want to help. What can I do? Yeah. And then you put on this event. That's
other
incredible.
Giving money is the easiest,
yeah,
right? It's the easiest thing to,
yeah,
do, and it's hard for some people to do it. They may,
yeah,
not have the means to, but just to do something.
Yeah.
And,
like this.
But still, put things in your car, water,
mm-hmm,
diapers, adult diapers, personal hygiene stuff, and drop it off at Urban League on Kings Highway.
Yep.
The need,
yeah,
is still great for all those things, and you meet so many great people, and you can see easily firsthand what has happened.
Yes, and Mitzi, to that point about the need being so great, Ranj and I have talked about this a lot. The need is going to be great for a long time.
Right.
For,
yes,
a really long,
yes,
time. Because people are going to be displaced for so long. Right. And I mean, imagine losing everything.
I know.
And imagine not having, you know, maybe you are struggling to meet those basic needs on a day-to-day basis anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're hit with this type of tragedy. You don't have the financial resources or even a social network. That's something that we take for granted is, you know, your social network or safety net. We're like, okay, well, I've got a family member or a friend I can stay with. But a lot of people don't have that. And also, a lot of times that social network is your neighbor. But the whole community was hit.
Yeah,
right. Displaced. And I can't even imagine to lose your house and your car.
Yeah.
And that has happened to people.
Yeah.
So they virtually lost everything.
Yeah. Mitzi, it's off topic, but when we were getting ready to start the interview, you mentioned you saw Charles Glenn recently, and he's people love him here in St. Louis after singing the anthem at blues games
right?
for so many years.
Yeah.
So they'd love to know how he's doing.
He is doing wonderful. I mean, he commanded that stage, and we also had Arvell, and I think they sang together in the band Fantasy maybe years ago, but they were a powerhouse, and Joe Mancuso sang too, and they literally brought down the house Tuesday night. Anybody
great.
Who was there knows.
That's awesome.
Charles is an amazing, amazing man.
Well, tonight is going to be an amazing night at Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. 100% of the ticket proceeds. And again, online sales are done. They are sold out, but you can show up before 7 o'clock if you want to get in, and they will make sure to accommodate you. The show is at 7:30. It is called Heartlight, a benefit concert for 100 Roofs. Let Jake know from us that we appreciate what he is doing. I know the community appreciates it. That's really awesome. And Mitzi, you too. Thank you for being with us, Mitzi McDonald.
Oh, thank you.
It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, how you doing? I've been waiting for my Major Garrett updates, and I've missed them the last 3 weeks. Did I miss a message or something? Thanks.
Kirk, are you on a sailboat?
It sounded like Kirk was on the roof of a car.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Kirk is, I hope he's okay.
And thank you for leaving us a voice message, Kirk. We love it.
On the Odyssey, on the Odyssey app. Major Garrett has been out the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Vacation today. Last week was Juneteenth.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the week before we talked to him.
Yeah.
So it's not been 3 weeks. It's been two. Kirk.
Don't get mad at Kirk.
Kirk's not. Paying attention.
He was on top of a car, leaving us a voice message.
He should not have been on top of that car.
Hey, how you doing?
There's a perfectly good inside of the car.
Maybe it was full.
There's a full of what?
People.
Moving.
Yeah,
moving the stuff like
what
me.
What if that's your moving guy?
It probably is. Kirk's showing up to help me move. Big Blonde Dan texted in. And it's good. Speaking of not hearing from somebody in a long time.
Yeah.
He was absent
for
months.
He's probably cheating on us with a different radio station.
If he is, I swear to God, I am going to do nothing. The text from Big Blonde Dan says, all this talk of Chris's legs has me intrigued. How can a fella get a look at these gams? Well, just go to our Twitter account, at ChrisAmyKMOX, and we have a side-by-side comparison of my legs.
Well, it's a game. You have to guess whose legs.
And Amy's legs, and you have to guess whose legs are whose. So good luck.
Yeah.
I think you're going to really love this game. Another texter says, tan-toned legs. No pasty, flaky, ultra-hairy nonsense. Peak male performance. Look.
Wait, where's
my hair is not, my legs are not flaky.
They look a little, they look wide enough that they could be flaky.
They're pasty, but they're not flaky.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't.
Your knees
don't,
look a little flaky.
They are not.
Do you
don't,
have more hair on your right knee, or is that just the angle?
Let's take a look. I don't know.
Because your left knee looks a little bald compared to your right knee.
No, it's the same. I don't.
I will say, you guys, if you go to Twitter, at ChrisAmyKMOX, and try to guess which pair of legs belongs to which one of us, it is difficult because we're wearing very similar shoes.
We are. So you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
I would say this, Amy has not shaved in a while, clearly. So we have our lemonade stand challenge, which is ongoing this week, and we want you to reach out to us. If you have found a, because we're in the middle of 100 acts of kindness with Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical, heating and cooling and electrical, and I can't talk at all. So Jerry Kelly has been part of this effort with us, and we are asking you, if you find a lemonade stand, stop and patronize that stand.
And guess what? Guess you guys are never going to believe what happened. So I have been running into, not with my car, but just coming across multiple lemonade stands and cookie stands.
Astounding.
So we started this challenge because I thought we need to all stop at these stands. And ever since we started the challenge, I haven't seen a single one. But I think we also started it on the worst week of the summer to have a lemonade stand. If you have a 9-year-old, are you really going to go say, hey, buddy, go sit on the pavement for 3 hours in the sun?
I'll tell you what, the last few days have not been the best days to do one.
No.
Not a lemonade stand kind of.
And people aren't walking around, jogging around as much in the middle of the day because it's dangerous. But anyway, that's our challenge. We need to hear from you. Just somebody, please.
Somebody, yeah. But go
somebody
to a lemonade stand,
just
would
go
you?
Go to one and then let us know.
And let us know how much you spent at that lemonade stand.
Yeah. And did you drink the lemonade? Because I have seen where I buy a lemonade and sometimes the scooping process is not the most sanitary.
Oh, because...
If they scoop the lemonade versus pour the lemonade, or you see the cups... Sometimes they're manhandled.
Health code violation.
Yeah, sometimes the cups are pretty manhandled,
You
know, because they're holding it by the rim and they drop it on the ground and then they put it in the wagon and now you're supposed to drink out of that?
I know what you mean.
It's like drinking out of a shoe at that point.
That is a health code violation. And sometimes these children don't know how to... Listen, I would not want a child to perform surgery on me. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I mean, lemonade's not exactly surgery.
Well, I'm saying like, because I don't think they would wash up. They wouldn't scrub up well enough for me.
What I don't want to happen is some listener sees a health code violation, calls the county.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Don't call the county and gets these kids arrested to go, this is courtesy of the Chris and Amy show. Don't do that.
No.
We don't want to put kids in prison. Ronj might. Oh, no, it went to prison. He calls babies
so what?
It.
So what? I call kids it. Why is that bad?
Are you moving because a child moved somewhere in your apartment building? You're like, I got to get away from these kids.
I don't know that I've ever seen a kid in my building the entire time I've lived there.
I feel like if a place that you choose to live, to me, never strikes me as Ronj picking a family-friendly place.
No, seriously, I don't know that I've even seen
a child
like a visitor,
ever?
Like a visitor come in, a child visitor.
Do you live in Del Mar Gardens?
No, I don't think, I'm saying like, I don't think that, because there's a lobby and they come,
this
people
guy,
come in.
This guy is not about family
I've
values.
I've never seen children. What is that?
He's not denying it. He's just going, what?
What does that even mean?
What
are family values? What is a family value?
What
mean?
Is a family? What is
I don't
a
know
value?
What a family is, but what's a family value?
It generally means, you know, good, wholesome.
So you think you're, by your definition, you're wholesome?
100%.
Okay.
Compared to you?
Oh, okay.
I'm a saint.
Oh, get serious. You're so full of crap. This texter says, who carries cash for lemonade stands? Do they take credit cards? I don't know, but I bet they take Venmo now.
Okay, not going to lie. I think the cookie girl had a
square, the
credit card swiper.
That always makes me a little nervous. I've gotten in cars before, like cabs, and they've done that where they all hear Square Pay, and I'm like, I don't know, man. But I guess it's okay.
I think... Actually, I have ridden in cabs. I usually do Uber, but the last few times I've done a cab has been in the city of New York, and it's the credit card machine and the screen are affixed to the seat. It's not just a square. It's actually affixed to the seat, which
that's
feels
how they
more
are
official.
In Chicago, too. Yeah. Like, that's the way they've been for a long time. Remember when you used to have to, I don't know how many cabs you've really ridden in, but you used to have to put the money in that little thing, and you would, it was like the door at the banker, like the bank, you know, kind of like that, where you'd shove the money in and you push it forward.
Yeah.
A lot of cabs now don't even have that divider anymore.
That was old school, though. Like, gosh, when was it? Maybe 2012. I think I was in a cab like that. Hey, Ron is watching us on YouTube. He said, yesterday I saw a lemonade stand, but it was abandoned.
What?
Must have been too hot for the kids. It was self-serve.
What do you abandon a lemonade stand?
The honor system.
Was it downtown St. Louis? Just abandoned? Is that what you mean?
It was derelict.
Oh, man. Now the city is going to come after that lemonade stand.
I know. I know. I have seen, and this is definitely more, maybe this is a Franklin County, West County thing, but honor system for wood. A lot of times there's a wood stand on the side of the roads, on the side of a country highway, and it's firewood, honor system, you know, $5, whatever, $10, $20, and that's honor system. And I've also, there was a long time ago, an honor system tomato stand on Highway 109.
Oh.
And my dad, on the way home from work, would stop by the honor system tomato stand.
I've seen egg stands like that. Not here. I feel like I've seen videos of that happening in Europe or something. I don't know.
Oh, hey, did you read the? Europe of maybe some eggs on the side of the road.
Read the tweet from JK. We have our Twitter thing up our legs, right? And JK says, trick question: the ones on the right, the legs on the right, are Dave Glover's legs? They stay for the fun at one. He's correct.
Hey.
The fun at one.
The fun at one.
But not today. Well, there's a different kind of fun. Yeah. Cardinals fun. Because we got the pregame show coming up at 12:20. And then first pitch, 1:15 from Busch Stadium. Finale of the series against the Cubs. Stay cool if you're going to the game today. But coming up next, Tom Ackerman will take you up until the pregame show next on 104.1 FM KMOX.